Blog Talk Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it should be going.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And life is good. Life is good. I am excited for those of you listening today through our network. We have such a special guest on. And if you're listening to this later archive, which most of you do, I think this is you're going to find some information today that is can benefit you for life forever and ever and ever. So today we're going to go ahead and stick with one topic through the whole thing. Instead of splitting it up with the real estate half and half, we're just going to go the whole hour with talking about fear. Fear stops us in so many ways. I like to look at it as fear means false evidence appearing real, but how much is that reality with all of us? And day to day, it's fear seems to stop us quite often. So today, I am so privileged to have Richard Flint. He is amazing, and I just can't wait to dig in and get into today's show. He is one of America's top personal development speakers and coaches. He travels and speaks over 200 times per year and personally coaches many businesses and individuals from on the road. Richard has been successfully mentoring and quietly helping professional organizations, large and small, businesses and individuals for over 30 years. Considered a well-guarded secret by many companies and organizations due to his results, Richard motivates, inspires, teaches, and helps people and companies metamorphosize into their power to be so they can do or have anything they want. It really, really works. Interestingly, he does it without you having to set goals. I'm looking forward to this. With his decades-long professional experience in counseling and teaching at the university level, he knows business organizations, both large and small, are made of individuals. He has a unique ability to see and then train each person to perform to their strengths, while each one synergistically creates the momentum for the group to move forward. Many entrepreneurs, individuals, and organizations have found his individual coaching exactly what they need to propel them to the next level, both personally and professionally. Richard Flint is on a mission. He calls it a crusade to help people have their best life possible. He knows how through his own experience. When he was little, actually when he was born, he was rejected by his birth mother, abandoned at 16 by his adopted family, who verbally abused him. Richard Flint has overcome challenges most of us find shocking. Some of us have been there. He has overcome it to live such a fulfilling life. He's dedicated to helping others break free and create the life of their dreams. Remember, you can be, do, or have your innermost heart's desire. And Richard is here and dedicated to helping you get there the best and fastest way possible. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Richard Flint.
Hey
there.
Natalie. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I am so excited to have you. It takes time out of your really busy schedule to do this with us, and we're just so I'm so honored to have you on.
Well, thank you for the invitation and for the opportunity to spend some time with those who are a part of what you're seeking to do, your ministry, your mission, your commitment to helping people. Because, you know, those of us who live in a world where we have been given the unique gifts of being able to see people from the inside out, there's a very, very special, very, very special connection that happens. And if I've been given one gift by God, it's the ability to see people from the inside out and to help people understand the things in life that create the majority of their fears. And that's why when you approach me, I ask you, could we spend some time today talking about fear? Because fear is an interesting concept, Natalie, because it has both a positive and a negative side to it. The challenge is most people never experience the positive side to fear, because they're so caught up in the negative side of fear. And does that make sense to you?
Wow, I never looked at it like that. I'm always thinking fear isn't good, but it makes sense because you get into that, is that fight or flight, where you can use the flight part to your advantage? Or that does make sense. Explain how that works.
Well, positive fear is that part of you that plays into your trust factor. And what positive fear does is it allows us to slow down because, you know, most of us run at a speed we can't manage. Most people that I work with, most people that
I'm laughing,
I know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
But most people run faster than they can manage. And all they do is they make their life and they make their journey so much more difficult than what it has to be. And so when you live on the positive side of fear, you believe in yourself, you trust yourself, you have the confidence in yourself, but you also understand that for my trust, my belief, my faith, my confidence to grow, I've got to be moving at a pace that I can manage. So in that understanding, the positive side of fear is that I want to make sure that I'm not moving so fast that I miss the opportunities that are in front of me. Because the faster you and I move emotionally, the slower we move mentally. The slower we move mentally, the less likely it is that you and I are going to be able to capture the opportunities. So what positive fear does is that it slows us down and allows our emotions and our mind to work together to focus us on the opportunities that are there. And a lot of people, like what you said, a lot of people don't see fear. They don't see the positive side of fear because they're so caught up in fear as a negative part of their life.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. The more people understand fear and how it works in the human life, the greater control they'll have over their life. Because, Natalie, we really never lose control of our life. We give it away. And so much of what we give away in our life is because of the negative aspects we have of living. I tease people every day that every one of us are schizophrenic, because there actually is more than one of you. And we fight a battle every day. And I have fought it, and there are times I continue to fight it. You have fought it, and you continue to fight it. It's the battle
between our inner voices, our inner thoughts.
Yeah, it's the battle between the old you that wants you to stay the same and the new you that wants you to break free and take that quantum leap to see what you can actually do with your life. And we have to understand that the negative side of fear is designed to paralyze you and I.
Right.
Because when I'm paralyzed, right, I'm stuck.
Exactly.
When you and I live on the negative side of fear, that negative side of fear brings three components to your life that are the foundations to what paralyze you and I. They bring doubt.
What are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Doubt
is the first one. And
okay,
you ever had a time in your life where you went through a strong time of doubting yourself?
Yeah. Yes.
What did it do to you?
It when you're doubting, it's kind of like confusion, I think. And I always say confusion's not from God, but the doubting it kind of paralyzes you because you're not really moving forward. You're stuck, Yeah.
Mhm.
And maybe you had asked. Yeah. Go ahead.
And when you doubt yourself, then the second component comes in because it is humanly impossible to doubt yourself without also involving worry.
Oh, that's a good big one.
Yeah, and worry is a real drain. Worry cannot replenish itself. It just emotionally sucks energy out of you.
That makes sense.
You know, you've been around people who spend their whole life worrying about everything. I have too. And, you know, when you study their life, they're very lethargic. When you study their life, they're not looking for the good. When you study their life, everything about their life is looking for what's going to go wrong.
Very negative, very, very negative.
Yeah.
Kind of low, low energy, I would say. Not in that vibration where they're kind of very, What's the third?
Well, when worry and doubt come together, they invite their buddy to travel with them, and that's uncertainty. And uncertainty is where the paralyzing happens. When you doubt and then you worry, all of a sudden you're living from your emotions up, not your mind down. And when your emotions are in control and those negative emotions are attacking your life, then you're uncertain about everything you want to do. And
that makes
what
so
happens
much sense.
There, yeah, what happens there is we spend a lot of time playing the what if game. And, you know, the interesting thing about what if, in the form of a question, you can't answer it.
Because
there's not a pathway to an answer. Because what if is like walking up to a wall and standing against the wall and you have no idea what's on the other side.
True.
So what do? Most of the time, I sit down, create a nice little safe zone for myself, and then trap yourself in what I call the circle of sameness. And in that circle, in that circle, every day what we do is we repeat what we've already done. Now, that gives the old you control of your life.
And some comfort, right? Because it's something they know, something we know. It's familiar, but it's not healthy.
No, because it gives you a false illusion of being safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I meet so many real estate people, and I talk with so many real estate people who could do so much more in their real estate business, but they choose because it's not dependent on the economy. It's not depending on what's going on around you.
That's true.
It depends on the choices that you make. And fear is always about making the choice to not risk anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead.
You know, when fear and change join forces, the result is resistance.
So your emotions are wrapped into it, which you can't really think clearly because you're too emotional. Then you get into the circle of oneness because you're right, and then that makes sense. The uncertainty and yikes.
Yeah.
Wow, the whole day's gone by. Nothing but worry,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and it makes for a very depressing life. So what do we talk about? We talk about what hasn't happened. What do we talk about? We blame what has our past for what we're not doing today. What do? We have excuses for not doing what we know we need to do. And then what happens? We stay in that circle of sameness, which is a box. And I call the box of life the place where you and I stay to perfect sameness.
Wow.
And
that's
if you
not
really
very,
study no, it's not healthy.
Mm-mm.
And if you really study truly successful people, and I'm not talking about people are real estate agents or people who sell gobs of real estate. That's an outward picture of success. If you study people,
I'm only laughing because the eyes out. Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah, but if you really study successful people, they have broken out of their box of sameness. And what do they have? They have a foundation of trust. They have a foundation of belief. They have confidence in themselves. And when you put those three together, then all of a sudden you turn your mind loose to explore. And with that, you remove the limitations from your life. We're only limited because we choose to limit ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, you hear about people say they're used to making $30,000, $50,000, $75,000 a year, and they get into sales, and because of the ceiling and their mental thoughts, they never go past until they break through it. And once they go past and get higher, then they're not afraid. They just start. It's funny, all of it ties in there. It's really one of the things. I was backing up to when you were talking about the doubt and the worry or confusion, or they're just not sure. Lots of times, people aren't sure, and then they start asking their friends or their family or acquaintances for opinions, and then you get many, many opinions, right? And then they just keep going round and around until they really get people need mentors. They need good advice. They need somebody that's been there, that's done it. If not, I think they stay stuck in that place. I'm just talking about people in sales, but I think in any part in life, any type of anything you're in, people get stuck in this fear is just rears its ugly head. And I'd like to look at, like what you're saying, the more positive side, because it automatically we think negative of fear.
Natalie, let me put a little mental chart in front of you. And for your listeners, if you got a sheet of paper, write this down because you need to understand this. The negative aspect of life starts with chaos. And chaos is when we're so emotionally overwhelmed we can't see through it. And at that point, life becomes an emotional jungle. Now, from chaos comes confusion. And confusion is when I know I need to make a decision, but I'm just not sure which way to go. It's like I'm standing at an intersection, and I need to make a turn. I need to do something. But inside, I'm so emotionally out of sync that I just don't know which way to turn. So what do? I sit down on the bench and stare at the street, which then creates conflict. And conflict is when all of a sudden in our life we get upset with ourselves because we know we need to do something, but we're just not doing anything. And then once the conflict sets in, the next thing is that we get disappointed in ourselves.
Oh, that really brings you down.
Yeah, because what I do is when I get disappointed in myself, it just sucks all the positive energy out of me. And my disappointment then feeds my confusion, my conflict, and my chaos. So I'm just strengthening them. And then once I get disappointed – I get frustrated, which is the next step.
Frustrated, and okay.
And when I'm frustrated, you know what I do? I emotionally speed up. Now, what have I created? I've created an internal emotional mixing bowl that's spinning faster than I can control it. And when you put all of those together, Natalie, the end result is I get angry. And I'm not talking about rage. I'm just talking about anger. And anger is an emotion that blinds us.
Totally.
We can't see beyond all of the emotions that are spinning. And what happens then? I'm worn out. I'm uptight. I become self-destructive. I look at my life and I bring all these other negative aspects into my life. I procrastinate. I allow my life to create piles of clutter. I become better at talking about what I'm going to do than doing it, because I just don't have the positive energy to do it. So what do? Then I go looking for someone to motivate me. I get asked all the time, are you a motivational speaker? And I tell people, no, I'm an educational entertainer, because I can't motivate anybody, and neither can you. You know, I get asked all the time,
right,
are you going to motivate me? And I tell people, no, that's your job.
Wow.
And
you're so
way,
good,
just
though.
Today,
you're,
no, go ahead.
No, you're so good at making people see the steps to do this, to make them start realizing, hey, this is, you know, where we need to start.
Yeah.
But
and Natalie, there are only a few things in life that can motivate a human. And my name and your name is not on that list. I mean, watch this. What motivates somebody? Knowing that they matter. I mean, that is a primary motivator in life. It's the number one challenge I see with most marriages, is that when people, before people get married, they pay a lot of attention to each other. And each one knows that they matter. And you know what? I put more of myself into it. And then all of a sudden we get married and we slip into a box. We slip into a routine.
Mm-hmm.
We slip into a pattern of sameness. And the things that we were doing before we got married, we stopped doing, like dating. The number one pitfall for most couples is that when they get married, they stop dating. They need a date night every week. Or
that
you look
sense.
At real estate. Agents come into real estate and they're really excited about real estate. And they're around a broker who in the beginning makes them feel that they're glad they're there. And, man, I'm here to help you, and I'm going to help you become successful. So the agent gets in the office, and all of a sudden they can't find the broker. The manager
That's
doesn't
true.
Have time. And so they're left on their own. So what's the thought? You know what? I was lied to. You have no idea of how many little young agents I've talked to whose disappointment, their frustration, and their anger was all centered around the fact they promised me, but they didn't deliver.
What happens, though, and then really it's the agent's responsibility to look at themselves as though they're in their own business, because they are, as independent contractors, and get going to make it happen for themselves, you know, and to try to learn as much as they can. I know I did that when I first was in the business 31 years ago and did very, very well. But if I would have waited for anybody to hand it to me, it would have never happened. So that's the same you're saying. That's basically the same with anything, right, that we have to – well, what do you do when no one else does appreciate you and you're just not getting that anywhere? Although we have our faith in God, and, you know, but not everyone does, unfortunately. What do you say to that? How do they – they have to motivate themselves, because the world doesn't always pick us up, no matter where we are.
Well, one of the things here is the fact that, you know, most people who come into real estate, they don't come because they're really enthusiastic about real estate. They come because they're curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they need is they need that support system around their life that's constantly
right.
reaching out and mentally and emotionally hugging them and encouraging them. You know, we do a lot of training in real estate, but yet I found one of the weaknesses is many times when that young agent goes through training and they go back to the office, there's not a manager there that holds them accountable for what they've trained.
No. Mm-mm. It's
And most real estate companies, Natalie, most real estate companies are not a business. They're an orphanage.
Babysitting
people
orphanage.
Like you
a babysitting orphanage.
Yeah. Huh. People like you who have the inner strength to do it in spite of what's going on around them are rare. You're not the majority of people.
But I tell you, I think just like with our Realty Universal membership, the even though it's, I always say to everybody, it's not just about selling houses. To me, real estate's the vehicle because it's to help people, to give back to people and get people to be motivated, even though you're right, I can't motivate them myself. But we can kind of give them tools and show them how what's possible. But somehow they have to take away the barriers, and I think you're right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, the thing that's got to happen is we got to take the emphasis off of how much money you can make and put it on the value that you bring to your clients.
Right. Right.
I mean, there's so many people who are paid a commission who ought to be paying the client to work with them.
No, I agree. I had a building I had years ago before I went back to Hawaii, and then I'm back and forth now, that when we were downsizing because I was going to go to Hawaii, we leased out some space, and it was my building. And I remember one of the gentlemen that was leasing space could hear me because this was a 100-year-old house on an acre, and then we had the apartment house next to it. But he could hear me talking to clients and customers, and this was back in the late 90s. And I remember he said to me one time, he says, Natalie, oh, my gosh, I wish – and he saw me dealing with the agents and going here and going there. I wish I had a dollar for everything you do for free. And I looked at him, and I was truly – Richard, I was very perplexed. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he was like, because you do so much just to do and do. And to me, that's part of what we're supposed to do. And it comes back to you. It comes back constantly. Now, in business, of course, and with systems and changes, and we have everybody work virtually now. We don't bring agents into an office anymore. With that, things have changed, and you have to respect your time and get paid for what you do, so you can't do everything for free. For those of people listening to think, I don't mean you do everything for free, but when it comes from your heart and you're really doing it to help the client, to see what they need, to make the results happen, to get their property sold, their building, whatever they're doing, it comes back to you. And I agree with what you're saying. I've never said, oh, I'm only the commission's this, I have to make this or whatever. And other than it's good to set goals in the sense, and that's something else I wanted to ask you about because I know you said you don't have people set goals, but I mean setting goals and saying, hey, we need to do this many transactions a month to get to such and such place. But, so I agree with what you're saying. And I don't think sometimes people realize, because I was perplexed. I really truly did not get when he said to me, I'd like to have a dollar for everything you do for free. I was like, what are you talking about? Because it's my natural character to want to help. So,
mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
When you think about all this, I don't like I don't like in real estate when we refer to ourselves as a salesperson. I think you're actually a guide. I think a salesperson puts the emphasis on the money. The guide puts the emphasis on resolving the customer's need. And you're
absolutely
there to guide them, and the commission is a reward for your guidance. So I don't want to teach you people, so let me get back to something. There are two more things that motivate people. Number one is knowing that you matter. Number two is being a part of a crusade, which is what we were talking about. It's being a part of life where you know that your presence can make a difference. Probably the third most powerful philosophy I've ever written says that our crusade should be to have a presence that is present when we're not present.
Oh, I
our
love
crusade,
it.
Yeah,
our crusade
should be about never allowing people to forget us. And what keeps people from forgetting us? The value of our presence. that we go the extra mile.
I love it.
Mile.
So don't yes.
Yeah, have a presence that is present where you're not present. That's the ultimate key to repeat and referral business.
Have a presence that is present when you are not present. That makes
people
so
can't forget
sense.
You. Yep. And they can't forget you because of the value touch you had in their life. And if you make having that type of a presence your crusade, you'll always have more business than you can handle. I was just on the phone with a young lady before I called you who lives in Kentucky. And she's been in real estate for 25 years. Her husband's been in real estate for 32 years. And 98% of their business is repeat and referral.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have done the job of not racing through clients' lives, not making the client feel like that they're just there for them to get a commission, but that they're there because they care about them. I work with an agent out in California. His name is Bob Wolf, and Bob is one of the most gifted salespeople, guidance counselors I've ever seen. And his business is all repeat and referral. Why? Because every time he touches a human life, those people know that he cares about them.
Absolutely.
And then,
the third
thing that motivates people is living your dream. See, I don't think most people have a dream in real estate. I think they come in looking for the money, and they don't see it as an aspect of their life where their growth and development can happen. Most of what people call a dream is actually a fantasy.
You mean when people say, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do this? It's not really, they're not even putting anything into play? I hate to hear that. Yeah.
Well, there are five powers to a dream. There are five things that a dream brings to your life. Number one, it gives you direction. When you have a dream, you have a purpose. That purpose creates direction. The dream also creates resilience, that I know it's not going to be easy. I know the terrain I got to walk to get to where I want to go is going to be shifting, and I've got to daily be prepared. It was one of the reasons I created my morning minute, to give people a pathway every morning.
I love that. I've been getting that. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Well, and for those who are listening,
have coffee with you in the morning minute, and you really set people off for the day.
Yeah, and for those of you who do not know what it is, every morning for 365 days, I send you to your email inbox a one-minute video with one of my philosophies of life and then a piece of wisdom to bring to your day. Every day is a different message. Every month is a different theme. And it's all designed to mentally prepare you for your day. Most people have a mess of a day because they're not mentally prepared before they get into that. And you and I know that life at some point is going to pull the rug out from under you. So that dream gives you the resilience, which means you can knock me down, but you can't keep me down because I have a purpose for my life. And then a dream will also energize you. Man, let me tell you something. When I get up with a purpose for my day, and I got that direction that I want to go, and I don't do to-do list. I do my achievement list, the things I want to achieve today. Man, that just energizes me. And then
can we tell people how to reach you, though? I mean, it's richardflint.com, but, they can sign up for your
If they go to richardflint.com, if they go to richardflint.com, they can actually click on the morning minute, and it gives you everything you need to know about it.
They can sign up to get the newsletters as well, too, right? And
they can sign up. And we also
not the newsletter, to the minute, okay.
Yeah, we also do a free webinar every month that people are invited to. But you got to be on our list in order to get the invitation to come to the webinars. They're the second Tuesday of every month. And they're powerful. They're a 45-minute to an hour webinar each month. But you've got to have that dream, and that dream is direction, it's resilience, it's energy. It also allows you to adapt. And if I hope your listeners understand this next statement. Adapting is the real test to the commitment to achieve what you say you want.
And explain that, how, because of all the obstacles that come in your way constantly in life, or things that happen,
yeah,
or
well,
what?
Yeah, well, most of us, we don't adapt because of fear. We get locked in that box. So, you know, there's a new direction I need to go, but I'm fearful, so I don't adapt. And when I don't adapt, I take my life in the wrong direction. Change is brought to your life to help you find the pathway to improvement. But if I fight change,
I like that.
Then I fight improvement. And then the last thing that a dream brings to your life is it brings momentum. Every
yes,
day
sir.
That I'm watching my life improve, it increases my trust, my belief, and my confidence in myself. And then you
mm-hmm.
will see that in your behavior.
I love it. It just kind of like a magnet, you know, it starts coming to you. Things happen, doors open, calls happen. And when you really believe and you trust, I've lived it in my life, and I've constantly gone full circle and pushed away maybe from Reality Universal at times, saying it's just overwhelming, and it's almost like God says, no, it's your mission, and it keeps coming. So I love what you're saying, because it just resonates so well. And then things can happen in people's lives that just totally knock them to the ground, and they have to try to get back up, right? And how do they – fear can paralyze you in many different times, right? So what do you suggest people do?
Yeah, so what does negative fear do? It makes you doubt yourself. If I doubt
mm-hmm.
myself, then it's easy to stay down. Then I'm going to worry about what happened. So I don't want to get back up. And then I'm uncertain about what to do. So what do? I stay down there and hang out with the rest of the little maggots in life that have chosen to have excuses for what they're not in their life.
And stay at a low-level energy, never accomplish anything, always are having the what-ifs, and saying if I win the lottery, right? That's it.
Yeah.
They're not
well,
trying.
Well, their whole life is filled with excuses. It's filled
yeah.
with blame. It's filled with justification. Yeah. And they always have a reason why it's never their fault.
Oh, blaming other people. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or blaming life.
Yes.
So let's
yes,
go back to a word you threw out a minute ago, and because it's important, because people sometimes don't understand it, and that's the concept of goals.
Yes, you said not. Okay.
Okay, now what I want your listeners to understand...
I'm taking notes here the whole time. I'm loving this. Go ahead. Sorry.
But what I want your audience to understand is that too many times goals become a substitute for dreams.
Okay?
Because of how we're taught and what we're taught about goals. We're taught that we need to sit there and we need to write out our wish list.
Okay.
And the challenge with that is most people write goals because someone has told them they need to do it. I mean, the manager walks in and goes, okay, Danley, time to do your goals. And you sit there and think, you know what, I don't like this. But I know if I don't do it, they're not going to get off my back. So what do? I get my little paper, I get my little pen, I write out my goals, I show them to them, they look at them and go, that's great. And in my emotions, I'm telling myself, you're not going to do that. And so goals become a lie for most people.
But so what do you do, though? Because I still think it's good to have, like the wish list, it's good to say, hey, what my dreams, what would I, or even like a vision board, what do I want to accomplish, what do I not want to do? So what do you do with that if you don't make
Natalie,
the list?
I'm glad you asked me that question, because here's what you have to do. Let's say that it's coming up on the end of December, and I'm looking at next year. So here's how I have to look at it, and I got to look at it from my mind down, not my emotions up.
Okay.
I got to let my mind be creative. So here's what I do. Okay, Richard, where are you right now in your life? Where are you?
Right
okay?
now.
And Yeah, where am I right now in my life?
Okay.
On December 31st, 2017, where do you want to be?
Okay,
right
so
now,
basically a one-year goal. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then here's the how you make it happen. Richard, knowing where you are, knowing where you want to be at the end of the year, what behaviors are you going to have to implement that will allow you to get there? Because you see, goals are simply words.
You have to change your behavior.
Yeah, no human life is going to improve if they don't improve their behavior. And the most powerful philosophy I've ever written in my life are just three words. Behavior never lies. The essence of truth is not what someone says. It is what they do. And that's why most goals are a lie, because the people who write them don't believe in them. It's the same thing with a vision board. I was working with this dentist in Chicago in my mentoring program, and we're sitting in his kitchen in December, and on his refrigerator, I see this picture of this beautiful house, and I said, "Doc, what's that?" He said, "That's the house I want." I said, "Well, how are you going to get it?" He said, "Haven't figured that out yet."
Oh. Okay.
See, that's the same thing with most people. You write the goals and you ask them, how are you going to achieve this? Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So that goal has no power.
So I see what you're saying.
So it's a whole different world.
But Richard, can we kind of have the pictures and the list and then still kind of, you know, then say, yes, what behaviors do I need to change? Hey, I want to lose 50 pounds. I can't eat donuts every day, right? I have to change what I'm doing. So can we do that? Because I know in my life, over the years, I've kind of visualized, but then I do figure out how to do it, and then God helps too. I mean, because does that make sense? You know, but it's nice to be able to look at a picture or say, this is what we'd like to accomplish. So you're saying take a one-year goal and you go, see, what do I want to do? But where does that come in with the pictures? Because I visualize, too.
All right, well, listen to what I'm saying.
But I don't
visualize,
please make it happen. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you start with where you are right now. The first step in growth is face what is. That's the very first step.
Growth.
So that means I got to be honest about where I am. And I learned in the world of doing private counseling, most people want honesty as long as it's not honest. They want to play games with themselves and everybody else.
Is that called denial?
Yeah, it's a form of denial.
Yeah.
But it's also a form of lying to yourself. So
that's true.
Am I? Okay? And you can do this on a quarterly basis. At the end of the first quarter, what do I want to have achieved? Not accomplished, but achieved. Okay? From where I am to getting to that point, what behaviors am I going to have to implement that will get me there? See, most people write goals, but they don't attach any behavior to it.
That makes total sense, because it's not going to happen if you don't. That makes sense.
Well, life is about choices. Every choice has an agenda. Every agenda is strengthened or weakened by behavior.
That makes total sense. So, the fear part, though, of having goals sometimes, or thinking of where you want to be or where you want to be in a year, and then seeing what behavior you have to change. Did you think is a good a part of it also is having the faith and the trust? Because if you know you have a mission and you want to get there, some people feel like, well, I can't get there if I don't have it all mapped up to the T, because there's things that happen sometimes, or even it might even be bigger than what they've ever imagined, that they need to get started on a path to get there, right? And if
And what we have to do is we have to understand the power of fear. And Natalie, from the day you were born to the day you die, you will fight with six fears. And they're the same six fears I will fight with. They're the same six fears that every one of your listeners will struggle with. And watch these, because they're in no particular order. But one of these is always the number one fear in your life. The first fear is the fear of the unknown, which is huge. I watch so many people who talk about what they want, They walk to the edge where they could have it, but because they can't predict or they can't see beyond their fear, that unknown paralyzes them. And the basic reason they won't take the risk is because they don't trust their self. They don't believe in their self.
Okay. Wow. That's huge.
The second fear is the fear of abandonment.
Yes.
I watch so many people stay in unhealthy situations for the fear of not having anyone in their life.
Yep.
And that's
fear, probably huge.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the reason a lot of women stay in abusive relationships because they can't see, or they need somebody in their life. One of the most dangerous places you'll ever be is if a woman needs a man in her life or a man needs a woman in their life. Now, here's one of the things we're facing today is that as our society is aging, there are a lot of senior citizens who don't want to even think about the last years of their life being alone.
That's a good point.
Because they just don't trust. They don't have that foundation of trust in their self. And, you know, again, I wish we had a day to talk about this. But most people bring others into their life because they need them, not because they want them.
That's horrible, though, isn't it? That's true, but it's horrible. It should be because they want them, but I agree.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And abandonment, there's so many people with a... So, go ahead, an unknown and abandonment. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then the third one is the feeling or the fear of failure. I will not be able to do it. And you see this in people. They take the training, they have the insights, they have the information, but because they don't have that foundation of trust and belief in their self, they won't do it because I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to fail. And if I fail, people are going to look at me in a bad way. You know, and I don't want to be known as a failure. And somehow we got to get the message across that you can't grow if you cannot fail.
Absolutely. Look at so many things that have gone invented. Look at Thomas Edison. We wouldn't even have the light bulb if he didn't keep trying. Well, I mean, for a long time. Look at the. You're right. Well, don't you think a lot of people really are concerned about what other people think, and they really shouldn't be that concerned because other people are busy with their own lives. They're really not focused on what you're doing with your life every day. They're not you.
Well, see, that fits in. What you're talking about fits into the next fear, which is the fear of rejection.
Oh, okay.
People won't like me.
Right.
And everybody wants to be liked. So we've seen people do this. They will become what anyone wants them to be so that they will be liked.
Mm.
And that fear of rejection is huge. But the thing is, you can't have other people like you if you don't like yourself. And by the way, it's a sad thought, but it's true. Most people put others in their life to give them permission to stay where they are, not to challenge them to step up.
Wow. That makes sense.
I want to go back to failure for just one second because all emotions travel in threes. And when you look at failure, we teach two things, failure and success. So if I don't feel like a success, I got to be a failure. But there is a third aspect to this. There's a third emotion that plays into this. It's success, failure, and defeat. Defeat is permanent. What failure is simply an option that didn't work. What failure is fertilizer for your success. Every time I get knocked down, I get back up. That is success. And that's what people have to understand. It's not things. It's you. It's you feeling good about yourself. And every time you get up, that's success. Now, we got...
Amen.
We got a little bit of time left.
So unknown, abandonment, failure, rejection. Time-wise, we've only got about 10 minutes. Oh, yucks.
Yeah,
yikes.
So let me get these
other
two.
We need you here for a
table.
Week.
Okay, let me get these other two on the table. The fear of loss, which I'm going to tell you is bigger than most people realize. Why? Because with everything that you and I want to do with our life, there is a price tag.
That's true.
Will only go as far in life as I'm willing to pay the price. And, you know, this is one of the things with real estate. Real estate has three real price tags to it. Time. And a lot of people won't put the time into it. Knowledge.
No.
A lot of people won't. They go to classes, but they don't use the knowledge.
Exactly.
And then finances. Real estate is an expensive business if you're going to do it correctly, because you got to do
it
marketing. You got to promote yourself. You've got to invest in your education.
Exactly.
And if you're not willing to pay those three prices, you're just going to wander around on the beach looking at the horizon. There is a price tag to everything in life. And if you're not willing to pay the price, you shut down the pathway to getting there. And then the last of the fears, which is the biggest one in young people today, is the fear of success. And that sounds strange, but it's there.
Yeah.
And you see it in young people.
Yeah, what are they afraid of? I guess, haven't been there in different parts of my life. I'm not, but I guess but I'm a lot older. So I guess what are they afraid of? The unknown with the success? Or that they're not going to, all the other Italian, they're not going to be liked? They make it be, there'll be jealousy? Or what do you think?
Well, here's part of what we are waiting, part of what we're dealing with, is that we're dealing with a generation that whose parents have given them too much.
Yes.
Okay, so they've never had to work for anything. They're spoiled. And in what giving them too much, what we've done is we've taken away the concept of accountability and replaced it with entitlement. You know, I watch some young people who come to real estate who expect the real estate company to make them successful. They expect the broker to do everything for them. I watch them and they go to work, and they have no work ethic because they've not been taught the value of doing. So they have no healthy definition of success.
I'm constantly saying work is not a bad four-letter word, you know. I agree. Wow.
Yeah. But they have no value definition of success. And the reality is, one of those six is your number one fear. One of those six is your number one fear. And if you can find your number one fear and control it, because you can't eliminate fear, you cannot do it, but you can control it, then you can reduce the other five in your life. But you got to be honest about knowing what your number one fear is.
I love it. So out of these six, even though there could be two or three out of the six, there usually is one that's overwhelming and number one.
And what you find is your number one will generally connect to two more in some way, because there's a path that goes with it. And if people would go to my website and they'd look at my books that I've written, again at richardflint.com, there's a book in there entitled I Need a Life. And it really goes into depth to these fears and what you and I have to do to control the power of fear in our life. The book is entitled I Need a Life, and it's richardflint.com. And can I put one more plug in, Natalie, before we have to run away?
You are. I wish we could have you for a week. yes, sir.
Every year I do a summer conference where I invite people to come and spend 3 days with me. This coming year, 2017, will be our 27th Star Maker Conference. And every year we move it around the country. Every year it's a different theme. Like our conference dates this year are July 21 through 23. And we're going to be in Williamsburg, Virginia at the Kings Mill Resort. And all this is on my website. But my theme is keep climbing. How do you continue to build the trust and the belief and the faith in yourself? How do you learn to adapt? How do you learn to trust yourself? And what's the pathway that will keep us going forward? And the neat thing about our conference is our sessions only go from 8:15 to noon, and then we turn everybody loose to go play because you can't handle more than 3 hours of me.
It's so that intense, I'm going to sign up.
Yeah, it becomes a family. 2015, when we had our 25-year anniversary, we had 236 mm-hmm. people. Of those 236, 42% of them had been to at least 20 of the 25 star makers.
Wow, my gosh.
It's a family.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it's a family that is built around one common thread. What can I do to continue to improve my life? People ask me all the time, what percentage of people do you think ever use anything you teach? And I tell them very honestly, Natalie, 2%.
Mm.
2%.
Really?
One of the challenges is with our world today is that because there's not accountability, we are allowed to continue to become less and less and less. And my crusade in life, my purpose on this earth is to find those people who want to grow and give them the tools, give them the tool bag. And at StarMaker this year, you're going to get a tool bag, and every day we're going to give you a tool to put in that tool bag that will help you with the theme of that day. It's just an awesome, awesome experience. And it's called StarMaker, and it's on my website, richardflint.com.
Yes, we'll get that out there. You are amazing.
To look at it and come to us. Come spend 3 days with me.
I have to say, I met you when you were speaking at the State Real Estate Association down in Ocean City, Maryland, and I took two of your classes there, and I just was amazed. And listening to you there, it resonated with me right through my spirit. I was like, you are definitely on a mission, and there's no doubt. And I remember I came up to you afterwards and mentioned that to you, and you said, this is my ministry. And I was like, I know, I can tell, I can feel it. It was just so it's so amazing. So subsequently, I bought a couple of your books and your tapes, and I've been listening to the CDs in the car over and over and over again. And you are amazing. You definitely you resonated everywhere, and you know exactly. It just your history and your life and everything. It was like you were here to do this, just like you said. You definitely are on a mission, and I think you're going to be changing a lot of lives, and we need to get the energy back up, right? Our world, or look at the United States right now. We're in such a conflict, and I think if people would realize, hey, it starts with each one of us, right? Every one of us can do it. Every one of us we have to love ourselves, like you said, before we can love somebody else, right? Or they will love us.
We've got to stop waiting on other people to take care of us. And we've got to understand, this is my life, it's my choices, and I am exactly in my life where I want to be. And people fight me on that statement, but
you are exactly in your
life where you want to be. If you didn't want to be there, you wouldn't be there. And if you're wanting to improve your life.
Stop waiting for the handouts or the entitlements, because the handout and entitlements is only going to teach you, you're never going to learn to fish, right? You're never going to be able to get that drive and that willpower. When you go and you do it and you fight for it and you get back up and get back up, no matter how many times you've been knocked down, there's some inner, I call it God. I constantly say it's God, not me. I'm constantly saying it's God, not me. But when you get that and you do it, you're gonna be so amazed, right? It's amazing, and it helps you to know again and again you can do this and do this. But when you just get handouts, and so many people are getting handouts in the country these days, and there's a limit. They're never doing anything, and it's just that's not a way to live. It's not a good way to live. I think.
It's not living, Natalie. It's existing, and I promise you, all your listeners, this: if you want to improve your life, take a look at my website and what I do, because this is my ministry. I'm doing with life what God put me on this earth to do. And I am looking for that 2% that are serious about taking their life for it.
Absolutely. God bless
you.
Well,
I thank you.
Amazing. Thank you, sir. And I hope to